Greetings. My name is Jim. My divorce was final in the spring of 2009. On my first night to divorce care, I arrived early and was unexpectedly slammed with the word divorce on the title slide. I wept like a baby. Never thought I would be here. I'm glad I had a few moments alone. I was really good at being alone. My part in the abolition of my marriage was living in an emotional and spiritual isolation from a deep-seated fear and anxiety and anger that produced a heart and mind that strove to control and manipulate all that was around me. I believed if I could control the processes in my life, then I could control the outcomes. Totally destructive. Also, I attempted to use the shallow and empty comfort of pornography to feel better. Absolutely stupid. In my relationships with family and others, I was a ruthless but passive-aggressive competitor that could not lose. Losing or failure meant being insignificant and worthless. I lived with my emotional bags packed, ready to flee, thinking with full conviction that if I was truly known, all around me would reject me. So as a result, I participated in snuffing the life out of my marriage and created an emotional distance from my four children. Simply put, I failed to nurture my wife and my kids the way God intended, and I was a pickin' mess. It's been 7 years. I still weep over the loss of dreams that could have been. The occasional tsunami of emotions is still intense, but I'm certain that moving on from this season is next for me. And as I reflected on my journey, there are four truths I want to share with you tonight that encourage me to move on. Number one, God wants a relationship with me. The person who knew me most intimately rejected me most completely, but God did not. God says in Isaiah 43, "You have wearied me with your iniquities, burdened me with your sins, but I, even I, have washed away your sin for my sake, and I will remember your sins no more." He is pursuing me. My job is not to find him. My responsibility is to wait for him. God wants to restore my sense of value and worth by understanding who I am in Christ. God wants a relationship with me to bless me. Larry Crabb in his book Shattered Dreams says this, "God wants to bless. It is who he is. My badness is not a hindrance to that blessing, nor is my goodness a condition of God's blessing. Blessing us is who he is." The problem is realizing that God's definition of blessing and my definition of blessing at my worst moments are miles and miles apart. He has dreams for me that my story can be used to encourage others, to equip others, to point others to him. I can be a vessel he uses. But I needed to change the way I thought. Change where I sought to find life. And the scriptures are very clear. My ability to change, to heal, is found in my abiding walk with him. Jesus said, "Abide in me. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you. Unless you abide in me, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him will bear much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing." And that's in John 15. My worth, value, esteem needs to be found in Christ. I need more than anything a relationship with him, and God wants a relationship with me. Imagine that. Number two. God uses pain and brokenness to drive us to him. I can choose my behavior, but I can't choose my consequences. My behavior was pretty dysfunctional, for I put demands on my marriage that God never intended. Make me feel significant. Make me happy. Give me worth. Give me purpose. Increase my self-esteem. Meet my needs, etc., etc. I felt most significant when I had something or someone to fix. In fact, to my shame, I felt most happy when my wife was most miserable. Her happiness meant I was not needed. I took responsibility to feel better from the fear of failure and anger that drove me. I pursued the hollow comfort of pornography, which I've stated already. I overate. I controlled every environment, relationship, and process I was in because I did not trust others with me. I did not trust God with me. Pretty sick. All of this mess God used to get me to the end of myself and move me toward Him. Brokenness was essential to drive me to Him. As the psalmist says, it is good that I was afflicted, that I may learn your decrees. Psalms 119:71. All things work together for good, right? To those who love God and are called according to His purposes. Romans 8:28. One author challenged my understanding of this passage. He says, and I've always believed that it meant that everything's going to work out. Right? Everything's going to work out. Instead, he writes that in God's eyes, the greatest good is to be in a personal relationship with Him. So the verse is better understood by saying, all things drive us to Him. The good and the bad in my life continue to drive me to Him. This mess was actually God's grace in my life to draw me even closer to Him. Number three, God wants me to participate in His plan, not just restore my happiness. My life used to be about my happiness, my significance, my esteem, my safety. Not so much anymore. Oh, the needs are real, but I no longer take responsibility, personal responsibility, to meet those needs. In the book of Ruth, Ruth's mother-in-law, Miriam, returned to Israel from a devastating time in Moab, where all her security in mankind was shattered. She told her old friends as she returned to Jerusalem, "Don't call me Miriam, call me bitter." You can imagine at a restaurant, bitter table for one. But God changed her heart by giving her a new vision for life, different than before, better than before. So where am I going from here? Do I put my hope in restoring my marriage? Do I learn to be content in being single? I truly believe that I will find happiness in my pursuit of Christ, no matter what the circumstances. I believe I understand God's heart correctly, that He does not hate me, the divorcee, but the act of divorce and the impact it has on those He loves. My challenge going forward is embracing what God says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. All this is from God who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. That ministry of reconciliation is important in my earthly relationships as it is in my spiritual ones. Currently, I'm in the healing process of reconciling a friendship with my ex-wife. I've made amends to her and each of my children. The process continues. Currently, I'm a leader in the recovery ministry at Watermark called Regeneration, so that I can continue to pursue self-awareness and dependence on Christ. I also serve on the community team as a married community director. And all of this is lived out in a community of believers that know me and love me. And oh, they will wound me when necessary. As Proverbs 27:6 says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Number four, life is going to look different. This was a toughie. You see, my significance was wrapped up in being married and having four compliant kids. Oh yeah, and the dog. Losing that was losing everything, I thought. I learned to believe in my heart and mind that God was going to redeem this painful situation for His glory. But I confess, I do not know exactly what that redemption process looks like. But I'm all in. I trust God and I trust His purposes. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 1, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father of mercies, God of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction, the comfort with which we ourselves were comforted by God. God will use my failure for His glory." Jeremiah writes in Jeremiah 18, I love this story. He says, "I went to the potter's house, and there he was making something on the wheel. And the vessel that he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand. So he remade it into another vessel as it pleased the potter to make. And then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah and said, 'Can I not deal with you as the potter does, declares the Lord? Behold, like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand.'" God is in the business of redeeming and remaking lives. There was a tremendous amount of encouragement in my heart when I embraced that truth. He wants to change me, but it's going to look different. But at times I regress. I desperately pray for God to join in on what I think is best, right? I claim Jeremiah 29:11, where God says, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans for your welfare, not for calamity." How many times have we quoted that one? But when I was praying it, this is the way it came out in my head. "Oh God, I know the plans that I have for me. Please bless them." How presumptuous is that? These are the things I must accept, things I must begin to see clearly. There's a familiar nursery rhyme that I've amended that helps me understand how God works. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses, all the king's men could not put Humpty Dumpty back together again. But God can. But he never promises to put Humpty Dumpty back on the wall. My future will look different. It will not be what it was, but it can be better. In summary, I say with full conviction that I would not be doing well in my season of divorce recovery apart from abiding with Christ and in the context of community. I know this is your last night in divorce care, and you may be thinking, what's my next step? One of the things you may consider, one of the ministries that I have the privilege of serving in is The Prodigal. Tuesday nights at 6:30, you're already in the routine, but it's a great place to find community, to learn how to deal with your prodigal. And if your spouse is a prodigal, you deal with some pretty significant issues. Tonight we're talking about codependency. Imagine that, finding worth in through someone else's performance. Like that never happens. Come visit Prodigal. We'd love to have you there. Consider that a great place to find community. And there are other ministries too. As I move on, I need to consistently accept these four things: that God wants a relationship with me, that God uses pain and brokenness to drive me to Him, that God wants me to participate in His plan, not just to restore my happiness. And I need to accept that my life's going to look different, better, but different. There's hope, dear brothers and sisters. May God bless you in this precious, painful season of life. Remember, all things in our lives, the good or the painful, drive us to Him. Remember, this season for you could be God's grace for you. Thanks for letting me share.